are holding on Tess of an Aleph, the last line of the narrow lines. Still talking about the dinim and the agadta related to giving and collecting and whatever tzedakah. We learn in a Mishnah in Masechet Peah, in person la'ani ha'ovim makom la'makom. You don't give less for if you have an ani who travels from place to place. So like the Tosfos says, every day he may go to a different city where there are Jews. So you have to make sure to give him not less mikikur b'punya, and you have to give him at the very least a loaf of bread of the type that's bought for a punya, and a punya is 1/48 of a seller, me'arbathin the seller, when the price of wheat is 4 sa'ah to the seller. So Rashi makes the calculation that it works out like this. The 48 punyonis in a seller. There are 24 kavim in a sa'ah. The four kav, you have six kav to the saw. Mm-hmm. So 4 saw, which is the amount you can buy for a seller, would be 24 kavim. Divide it into, you have 48. So therefore, you end up with a half kav of wheat per punyan. Now that's as far as the wheat. The cost.
Half a kav is a huge amount.
Well, wait. Rashi explains that then you have to consider that the bread sells for twice the price of the wheat, because you have to have somebody needs to grind it, so they need to sell it. Each person along the way, the storekeeper also has to make a profit. It winds up therefore that you end up being able to buy for a punyon, you end up being able to buy a loaf of bread, which is 1/4 of a calf. A calf being
loaf,
about
a regular loaf of bread.
About a regular loaf of bread, yeah.
It's like $2.
Yeah, something like. So you have to give them at least that amount.
Now, why do we give people a quarter?
A quarter of what?
Quarter, I must say, of a quarter.
Oh, I don't know.
I always give someone a quarter.
I always.
So am I doing the wrong thing?
No. We're talking about this is an oni ha'ovim makom l'makom. This is we're talking about the gavoy tzedakah in town are responsible to make sure that that he's given at least that amount, as opposed to the Mishnah goes on to say, for example,
the whole city.
Right. So as opposed to the Mishnah goes on over there, if let's say for example you have an oni who lives in town, then they have to give him then they give him a week's worth at a time, etc. But here we're talking about where he goes. He every day he's in a different place. So Tosfos makes the calculation in some detail that what it is they don't give out food in the evening; they give it in the morning. So therefore, what you want to have is that he'll always, when he comes from one place to another, you expect him to have food from the previous place. They don't send him away hungry. That's the idea. You give him 2 meals, and that way he eats one of them at night, and one of them he has to take with him on his travels the next day to the next town that he's going to.
Giving him two meals, so it's probably
giving him 2 meals. That's the idea, yeah. That's the idea. It's meant to make 2 meals. Yeah, that's it. Lon, and the Mishnah continues, if he stays overnight in town, no son like Parnassus Lina, then they have to give him what he needs as support for staying overnight. So the question is, my Parnassus Lina, what does that mean? You already gave him food. It means you have to provide him a bed and a pillow or whatever, and a blanket, whatever other, the Rashi just says beis sadi means a pillow, other Mepharshim say means more generally the stuff that you need to sleep, also a blanket, whatever. And the Mishnah continues, Shabbat, if the guy stays over in town, this poor person stays over in town for Shabbos, then they have to give him food for 3 meals because he needs shalosh shodos. So again, Tosfos explains what it is you give him the So let's say, for example, so on Friday you had given him 2 meals. So therefore, one of them he ate Friday night, the next one he ate Shabbos morning, because he's not traveling anywhere on Shabbos. Now what you do is, on Shabbos, you give him 3. One he eats for Shalosh Shodos, one he eats for Matzah Shabbos, and the third one he takes along with him when he goes Sunday morning to travel on to the next town. Tana, and then we learn in a Braisa, this is all for an Oni who doesn't go around collecting by the individual doors. He comes into town, and the Gabbai Tzedakah help him for that one day. However, if this is an Oni who goes himself around knocking on the doors to collect Tzedakah, then the Gabbai Tzedakah are not responsible to give him money from the Kupa, because Rashi says he's already used to knocking on doors and asking for Nedavos himself. They don't need to provide him from the Kupa Shal Tzedakah. So, in that connection, one time there was an Oni who was doing that. He's going around from door to door collecting. So he came to Rapapa. When his back is laying, Rapapa did not give him. Did not give him. So now, what does it mean? Many Mephoshim talk. Different Mephoshim talk about. Tosfos mentions over here that Rapapa was a Gabbai Tzedakah. So he held like the Braisa just said, ain't Niskokin like. Some of the Mephoshim say it doesn't necessarily mean that. It may even mean that as a private person. But then, what does it mean? Ain't Niskokin like? Doesn't mean he didn't give him anything at all. We'll see in a second. Anyway. Okay, but if you don't give him anything, in a shachrinah mizdakakle, nobody else is going to give him either. Nobody's going to realize this distinction necessarily between the gabbai tzedakah and a person giving him as private tzedakah. Whatever it is, they're going to think he's not something you should be giving tzedakah to. Lame or slay, should the poor guy die? Or Hagoy Sabach adds the word omar. So Omalei, so the Papa answers him. Vatanya imhaya ani amachaze al psachim in niskakin loy. What about this braisa that we just learned that if he goes around from door to door, ain't niskakin loy? Omalei, so Rav Sama explains to him, ain't niskakin loy matanim adruba. That just means you don't give him a large amount. Avon niskakin loy matanim u'efes. However, you still have to give him a small amount. Tosfos explains that matanim adruba would be to give him kedesh seuda. That you're not obligated to, because he himself will go around and collect. But you have to at least give him something. Don't send him away completely empty-handed.
Now, Rav Sama is older than Rav Papa?
I don't know. I don't think we have Rav Sama Brady of Yeva often enough in Shas to be able to say one way or the other.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Seems like he's.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, but that's so that's according to Tosfos, that's the point. You're not obligated to give this guy Kadesh Soda, that's what the Braisa means, but you still need to give him something. You can't send the guy away empty-handed. Some of the Mephoshim, I think the tour talks about maybe the other way around, maybe Matana Meruba would be even more than a meal's worth, but Matana Muetis would mean a meal's worth, and that's what it means, a niskokin loy. Okay. Amar Ravasi, La'olam ha'yimna adam atme melotis shlishis ha'shekel b'shana. A person should not hold himself back from giving at least one third of a shekel as tzedakah per year. Shenema, I was a positive, and the Rambam adds that if a person gives less than that, he has not been mekayim in the mitzvah of tzedakah. Why a third? As the pasuk says, this is in the times of Nehemiah. Everybody agreed that they have a brit amana. We're going to make a covenant that we're going to be faithful to all the mitzvahs of the Torah. And they list over there a bunch of mitzvahs that they've been lax with, which now they're going to be careful with. One of them is they say, we set up for ourselves to follow the mitzvahs. That we should be that it's incumbent on us to give one third of a shekel per year. La avoda space of a kenu for the avoda of the Beis Hamikdash. The Tosfos explains if they're supposed to give at least a third of the year for the a third of a shekel per year for the bedek habayis for the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash. How much more so the fact for tzedakah? That's how the Gemara gets that figure. Some of the Mephoshim say that what about Machzah Shekel? Some of them say all it means is, in their times, the value of coins had changed. What was a Machzah Shekel in Moshe Rabbeinu's time is now worth a third of the current Shekel. And therefore, it's just saying, so some of them are trying to learn differently than Tosfos. We're talking about just the regular Machzah Shekel, but in their times, it was valued at one third of a Shekel. Others of them say it's two different things, Machzah Shekel for the Korbanos and whatnot, and my Tosfos says a Shlishas HaShekel for Bedek HaBayis. The Aruch HaShulchan has an interesting vote on it. He says, why if it's a third of a shekel, where they get that figure? He says, because he makes the calculation, a third of a shekel of 256 trutas, which is the number of weekdays in a year, aside for Fridays and Erev Shabbos. The number of days in a year, from Sunday through Thursday, over the 52 weeks of the year.
Without
Shabbos and Yom Tov. Right, without Shabbos, and without Fridays and Shabbos, yeah.
Fridays and Shabbos.
That comes out to 256, then. Oh, yeah, 52 weeks, right? So 104
no,
days.
No,
I don't know. He doesn't. I guess because Yom Tovim, you still have them. You have Moed Chitim, and you have similar things for the other Yom Tovim, so you give ahead of time.
Okay.
There's a lot of other interesting explanations why if it's one-third, Ben Yoyada says the vote is Oshlo Shadvarim Olam Omed. So therefore, that creates an association between Tzedakah, which is Gemilas HaSadim, and one-third. So, V'omer Ravasi, also Ravasi says, Shkula Tzedakah connected Kol HaMitzvahs. We see from this pasuk also that Tzedakah is equivalent to all the other mitzvahs. Shenema v'had manolein a mitzvahis, with them a mitzvah ain't ksiv kanal a mitzvahis. It's a mitzvahis in the plural, implying that by giving Tzedakah, they're accomplishing many mitzvahs. Famous thing, the Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya and Perek Lamed Zayin and some other places, the reason why Tzedakah is the greatest mitzvah of all. In fact, he mentions in the Yerushalmi, whenever they talk about Tzedakah, they just call it mitzvah, unspecified, is because any other mitzvah a person does with one individual aver, tzedakah, the person puts his whole mitzvah into his work, into earning money, and he could have used it to feed himself, which helps his whole matzius, and instead he's giving it away to tzedakah. So therefore, in that sense, tzedakah is greater because he's taking his whole matzius and putting it into it. Simon Godol Mikdash Moshe. So now we're going to have three things that Rabbi Lozer taught about tzedakah, which the simon for them is these three catchwords. One starts with the word Godol, one talks about this Mikdash, and one talks about Moshe. Amar Rabbi Lozer. Godol Hamaase Yosim Min HaOse. The one who causes other people to give tzedakah, convinces them, for example, the Gabbai tzedakah or whatever, who gets them to give, is greater even than the one who actually gives the tzedakah. Shenema, the pasuk says, V'haya Maiseh Tzedakah Shalom. The act of tzedakah will bring about shalom. And Maiseh implies, it actually says, by adding the word Maiseh, other could have just said, V'haya Tzedakah Shalom. So it means the one who causes it to happen. And the one who does the avodah of tzedakah will have peace and tranquility forever. So we see shalom is greater than that.
Of course, the person is convinced other people to give the tzedakah also.
Of course. Right. And
even a little bit more.
That may also be. The person who is convincing other people to give tzedakah is, of course, doing it himself. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the explanations in Mefarshim is the reason for this is because then he has a double mitzvah. He's convincing other people to do a mitzvah, and he himself is also giving. One of the many explanations for it is because the person who causes other people to give tzedakah a lot of times he gets a lot of bazillion for it. They yell at him, they make fun of him, or whatever, and he still keeps at it. You know, so that's a great quote in itself. The Alter Rebbe, by the way, in Geras HaKodesh, turns this on his head. He explains over there on his head. He explains that Maiseh Tzedakah is the kind of tzedakah that a person does sort of naturally, whereas Avodah Tzedakah is when a person has to work on himself to force himself to do it, and therefore it causes a greater thing. Hashkev Avetah Hadola. Okay. So and he continues. Zachar, if the person has the proper schus or the proper mazal, Rashi says, then. Then there's Mekoyim with him, what it says in the pasuk, that you should give your bread to the hungry, meaning that he ends up, that his tzedakah ends up going to deserving recipients. Loy zacha, if he doesn't have the schus, v'aniyim merudim tavi bayis. Then instead he ends up bringing in the aniyim merudim, the aniyim who are always screaming out. Now who are they? Rashi says that means the Romans, who are always screaming, we need more taxes, we need more money to collect from you because we have a deficit. Therefore, a person doesn't give.
Sounds very familiar.
Yeah. So, person's not zaycha. Then he winds up by giving away to that type of aniyim.
What's the pasuk?
Haloi poris l'roi v'chmach aniyim merudim tavi bayis. The simple meaning is aniyim merudim means the real aniyim who are complaining. Rashi uses over here the word complaint belaz. But yeah, the Gemara over here is explaining it as not just regular aniyim, but the government that poses as aniyim in order to There's a lot of other explanations how Merudim comes to mean them, one of them being that they're the ones who are murdered, who rebel against the Eidishter. Somebody also makes a connection with what it says about Esav v'hoya kasher torid, when you complain that you that Yaakov doesn't have the right to rule over you because he's not doing what he's supposed to anyway, then yeah. Amalehu Rava l'vnei Mechuzah. So in this connection, Rava says to the people of Mechuzah, which was his hometown, he was a Rav in the Rosh Hashiva over there, V'matusim inaychu, I beg of you, usu b'hadi adodi, do tzedakah with each other, and a lot of them were very rich people, but nevertheless, do make sure that everybody gives tzedakah, kiheichet l'hev l'chu shlom b'chuzah, in order that you should have shalom with the government. This idea, in other words, that you'll have v'haya maiseh tzedakah shalom. So it's important to make sure that happens. So there were poor people in town. We're saying many of the people in Mechuzah were rich, but obviously there must have been some poor people over there. Yeah, Gemilas Chassid is higher than Tzedakah in a way because it can go even to Hashidim. But Amar Rabbi Lozer. Now here's the second teaching of Rabbi Lozer. Bisman Shabes Mekdash Kayam Adam Shekel Shikolo Meskapaloi. When the Bis Mekdash was standing, a person brings his master shekel, and that's how he has his kapara. Achshav Shein Beis Hamikdash Kayim. Nowadays, there's no Beis Hamikdash. Im Oisin Tzedakah Mutav. So if the Jewish people do Tzedakah, then good. Then they accomplish their Zchus and their Kapara that way. V'im Lav Boid Ovechav Menoitzen Mizraya. If not, then the Goyim end up coming and taking it from them by force. V'afakashen Nachshav Lein L'Tzedakah. Nevertheless, it still counts. The Ibishtha still counts such a thing as Tzedakah. Shenema, the Pasuk says, V'neg Sayach Tzedakah. Even those who oppress you and take money from you is considered Tzedakah. Why is that? Marshall says one reason is because then fine, the government has taken it away from you. The fact of the matter is, therefore, they're taking it on behalf of the poor people who can't pay taxes. Therefore, it comes out indirectly. You help those poor people by you gave them tzedakah in a more indirect way. So therefore, it can be counted as tzedakah. Other mafreshim talk about because there's the agnas nefesh that's involved, so the Eibishter considers it a kapara. Amar Rava. So now interjecting a little bit into these things from Rabbi Lazar about tzedakah. Another thing about tzedakah. Amar Rava, Hai milsa ishtoili ula meshagish ochsid imo. The following, well, Shmei de Rabbi Lazar, that's why, because it's in the name of Rabbi Lazar. So it's not one of the series of three, because that we're going to continue later on with Moshe in the middle of the Amud, but this is another one that was taught in the name of Rabbi Lazar about the importance of tzedakah. And ula meshagish ochsid imo literally means the young one who caused his mother to go crazy. Who is that? Rashi says it means Rav Sheshet. Rashi says it means Rav Sheshet. Tosfos says it means Rav Achad Boy Bar Ami. We're going to have
two.
We're going to have this is a different level of Meshagash Och Sidima. You'll see. Whatever Zalman's brother has done, I don't think it's going to be like what we're going to learn here in the Gemara. Anyway, we'll see soon the story after the teachings on tzedakah. We'll see the story and we'll see who was the Ula over there. Rashi says it was Rav Sheshet. Tosfos says it was Rav Achad Boy Bar Ami. Okay, he said Meshmei de Rabbalog. As follows, my dechtiv bayuga tzedakah teshirian. What does it mean that the Eibishter wears tzedakah like a coat of armor, like a coat of mail? Why? What's the comparison between tzedakah and a coat of mail? Loi malach comes to teach you, mashirian zerkel klipper mitzarefet teshirian gadol. Just like with a coat of armor, you have it made, it's woven with holes in it, and then you have you have a bunch of little
platelets.
Yeah, good, thank you. That add up to one big, they close up the holes and they add up to one big coat of armor. So it also is the tzedakah that every prutta adds up to a large amount. There's a whole Igeris about this, yet another one of the Igeris Kodesh in Tanya where the Alter Rebbe discusses this in detail, but the idea is that Beruchnius, there's the idea that you have the coat of armor of a lacourse, so to speak, has holes in it to allow Shefa to come down to allow Ur Eliki to come down to us, but conceivably that could be taken over by Klippus, it could be removed, taken, and diverted towards the Klippus, so therefore there has to be a Shirion over there to protect, to close up all those holes so that the Klippus can't get at them, and therefore that's the comparison with Tzedakah.
Because
each coin, yeah. There's a different Igeres Kofalos. And this one is so basic to the understanding of giving tzedakah in small amounts that even in the art school Gemara, where they generally don't quote chassidus, they found it necessary to refer to this one. Yeah. That's the Alter Rebbe, and Igeres Kofalos talks about the idea. Yeah, kol afi roiv ha'maisa, that the Rambam says, for example, a person gives a bunch of small amounts is better in a way than giving one large amount because he trains himself to give tzedakah over and over again. And the Alter Rebbe explains also beruchnius because each time you give tzedakah, you're bringing down you're creating a new yichud, kutcha bricha or shinte down here on earth. There's also in Shirim B'Sefer HaTanya, there's a long explanation there from the Tzemach Tzedek about the details of it that we're talking about. We're talking about the situation where you giving the Rebbe also explains that we're talking about the kind of tzedakah where it's not that it's giving it piecemeal or giving it all at the same time is going to amount in the end to the same thing as far as the aniyim, because we're talking about the type that's collected only on occasion. The tzedakah of Eretz Yisrael, for example, which in those times was only collected once a year. So like this, you put away the money little by little over time, but you still gain the advantage, some of that explains, of the advantage of Beruchnius that you would have from giving a large amount. That's the sense in the Rebbe of Chashvan Gadol. It brings down the same high level of alakos that one big donation would give. Rav Chanina says we can learn the same thing from a different pasuk. There's a pasuk that compares all of our tzedakah to beged idim, which means a piece of clothing that you remove, like a beged mos, Rashi says, like a disgusting garment that a person just takes off him. But the comparison is mach beged zekul nimu v'nimu mitzaref beged gadol. Just like with a garment, every thread eventually adds up to a big garment. So also to the tzedakah, every prutta adds up to a big garment. Amai korolei ula meshagash och sedime. Now, why is it Rava is quoting this in the name of ula meshagash och sedime, the young one who made his mother act in a crazy way? Why is he called that? So here is the story. Rabbi Chabri Bar Ami one time asked Rav Sheshes as follows. Minayim l'mitzvoda b'mei tzvoda shematame odem. Now, we know that, okay, so you have a mitzvoda. Eventually, the tzaraas heals, the kohen is called, he does the whole thing that's described at the beginning of the parashas mitzvoda with the two birds and the erez, eitz erev, ezev, shnit elas. And at that point now, the mitzvoda goes to the mitzvah, and now he goes down one level of truma. Up until now, he was, in a certain sense, like a mess. He even walks into a building and everything, everyone in becomes tame. Now he goes down a level of truma. He's still metame odem. He can still be metame other people when he touches them. Eventually, he'll count 7 days, and then afterwards he goes to the mikveh again, and then he goes down a further level of truma, and then he brings his korbanos the next day. So, minayim lemetzorda b'mei tzvoda shematame odem. Where is the source for this that we're saying, that a metzorda, during those 7 days of counting, that he's metame people if he touches them? Amaloi, said Rav Sheshes, answered, Hoyol Matamav Godim, Matamav Odom. Well, very simple. We do see, at the end of the 7 days of counting, the Pasuk says, the Chibit Godim, he has to wash his clothes, meaning dip his clothes in the mikveh, meaning that his clothes are Tame. Since we see his Matame is clothes, then he can also be Matame a person. Only an Avatumah is Matame the clothes that he was wearing. If he was only a Rishon Matumah, he wouldn't. Amaloi, so Rav Chabri says, why? Maybe it's different, the kind of tumah that you have when you're actually touching something. Sometimes in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, we have the difference, for example, you can have a person, let's say, touching a mess, and with his other hand he's touching something else. The tumah of that something else is stronger than it would be if he had touched the mess, become an avatumah, and then he touches somebody else or whatever.
Right.
So maybe in this case, he's wearing his clothes, maybe they're sort of bottled to him. But let's say, for example, Rashi says, if this mitzvah, for example, were to be just touching other clothes that he's not wearing, not necessarily would they become tame. By the same logic, who says that just because he touches another person, then he would become tame? Tosfos learns a little bit differently. Tosfos brings a bit of a different, has a number of questions on Rashi from this and from later on in the discussion. And Tosfos explains that the question is still, maybe we see there's a difference between Tumas Godim and Tumas Adam. Maybe indeed a Mitzvah can be Matame Godim regardless whether he's wearing them or not, but not necessarily does that mean he can be Matame Adam, which maybe it takes a higher level of Tumah for that. After all, you can compare it to the case where a person moves a nevela of an animal, where any clothes that he's wearing at the time become tamei. Also, again, the pasuk says that hanoses nevelasim yichabes gadav. So, but the enim tamei adam. But if a person moved a nevela and touches another person, even if he's touching him at the same time, he doesn't become tamei. So by the same logic, who says that by the Mitzvah it means anything? Amalei. So Rav Sheshes answers him. According to your logic, where do you know that touching a sheriff, a dead sheriff, makes a person tamei? You never find an explicit pasuk that says that touching a sheriff makes a person tamei. All you find is it says that Yechavis Gadav. Amalei. So Rav Chabri answers him, of course you have a pasuk. But had you said that, you have an explicit pasuk that says, "Oh, yishashu yigav b'chol sheretz." Yeah, it's not in Parashas Shemini where it discusses too much shrots and it's elsewhere. But you have a pasuk that says that a person touches a sheretz, he becomes tamei. Okay, fine. Rav Sheshes says, "El shichlas zera the mitama adam minola." Fine, but okay, you still have to ask, what about shichlas zera? Again, you don't have lachura. You don't have an explicit pasuk that says that touching shichlas zera makes a person tamei. You just have the pasuk that says b'chol beged b'chol er will become tamei, not necessarily a person. And yet, the fact of the matter is, we know. So by the same logic, yes, you could say that a mitzvah can be metame the clothes that he's wearing. He can also be metame a person. Amalei, sort of a chabri answers him, shichlas zera now the head yiksidei. Okay, shichlas zera, you also have a pasuk that says, not quite as explicitly, but still, Oyish, the pasuk continues, that same thing later on in Parshas Emor, it says, or a person, Oyish, Hashetetim, and a Shechlas Zara, so it doesn't just mean, the simple meaning of the pasuk would be the person who actually emitted Shechlas Zara becomes Tomei, but the word Oy is Lodabas Hasanagea, comes to include somebody who touched it, even though it didn't come from him. So yes, you see that the person who touches Shechlas Zara becomes Tomei. You still don't have a source. Or back to my original question of Achadbar is saying, where do you find that a mitzvah, just because he's metame his clothes, should also be metame a person that he touches? But, Ahadulei b'bichusa. Rav Achabri then answered Rav Sheshes. He was answering him it with a little lightheaded. So Rashi explains because, like you see, Rav Sheshes is like stumbling over his answers, like he doesn't even know Psukim that Rav Achabri is throwing at him. So therefore, like Rav Achabri is like allowing himself a bit of shmeichel, the fact that I beat Rav Sheshes. Well, Cholashtai to Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes felt bad about that. And Rav Achabri was affected. Ishtik Rav Achabri Ba'ami. Rav Achabri Ba'ami became mute. V'isyakar Talmudei, and it became very difficult for him to learn. It's hard for him to learn if he can't speak words of Torah. Asti Ime V'kobachya come in. So his mother came and started crying in front of him. Rashi says it was Rav Sheshes' mother. Tosfos says it was Rav Achabri's mother. According to the explanation of Rashi, that it was Rav Sheshes' mother, why is she concerned about Rav Achabri? One explanation is that she's concerned because the Gemara mentions in Shabbos that anybody who chaver nene shal yada, anybody who somebody else gets punished from the Eibishter because of him, ein machnisa noisim chetasa shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he loses his close place with the Eibishter in Gan Eden. She didn't want that her son Rav Sheshes should have that. According to Tosfos, it's more straightforward. Rav Achabri is her son, and so she needs to ask for shleimus for him. She's crying out, and he didn't pay any attention to her. Why not? Many Mephoshim talk about it because it's one of those things that Rav Sheshes felt that the basically the covered of Torah is at stake over here, and therefore it's not really his to be Michael. Omrulay, so then she does something very drastic, and this is why we're calling him the Shagish Ochsidime, that he calls his mother to act in a crazy way. She Omrulay Chazi Lahani Chadi Demokis Minayu. She says, look at these breasts that you nursed from. The Pashtos it means, and I think this is the way most of the Mepharshim understand it. She pashtos uncovered herself, and then used that as a drastic way of saying, for this sake, you should be moichel for him. So again, according to Rashi, it was Rav Sheshes' mother. He was a baby. He nursed from her. According to Tosfos, she had been his wet nurse when he was a baby. She was Rav Achabri's mother, but she had been Rav Sheshes' wet nurse. And Bar Rachmiale, that was enough for him to galvanize him. So he davened for Rachmanos on him, v'itzi, and he was healed. But that's why. So again, according to Rashi, the Ula Meshagish Och Sidime is Rav Sheshes, that by being stubborn and not being moichel Rav Achabri to begin with, he caused his mother to have to act in this crazy way. According to Tosfos, it's Rav Achabri who called Ula Meshagish Och Sidime because he treated Rav Sheshes disrespectfully. That's what caused all this to happen. Different Mephoshim talk about the symbolism behind it. Mashal talked about, for example, that we learned yesterday, Vashadai 2 days ago, that Tamar Chachamim are compared to breasts that nurse the baby. And therefore, she's saying to him, like, remember that your job or his job is to teach Torah to people, and how is he going to be able to do it? How is he going to be able to do it if he can't speak? All right, so the Gemara says, Udasanala. Okay, since we got to the question, since we brought this whole discussion in about the Mitzvah, Taka Menolon, okay, given that Rav Achabri stumped Rav Sheshes, where Taka do we learn from that a Mitzvah is Metame people during that week? The answer is Kibitanya, like we learn in a Blaise, Rav Shim Ben Yechoyim, Nemo Kibus Godim Yimei Sforei, and Nemo Kibus Godim Yimei Chalotei. You have two times in the whole process of a Mitzvah becoming Tahar where the Pasuk says that he has to wash his clothes, he has to dip his clothes in the mikveh. One is Yimei Sforei, one is at the end of the 7 days of counting that we just said, and also v'nemakivus gadim yimei chalutei, and at the end of his chalutei, after he's healed of his tzaraas and after they do the whole thing with the birds and the eight eras and whatever, it also says you have to put his clothes in the mikveh. Therefore, we make gzeira shava. Ma lahalam matame adam. Just as when he was a full fledged mitzora and until they did the eight eras and whatever, he was matame people. Afkan Matame Adam, so also during these Shivas Yimei Tzvira, he's also Matame people. Tosfos points out it can't really be a total hekish because after all we do see there is a difference in his degree of tumah. While he's a Mitzvah, again he even walks into a building, he's Matame everybody in it. During the Yimei Tzvira, he's not. But still, at least for this purpose, that he's still considered an Avat Tumah, that he's Matame Adam Bekalim, that's the comparison. In fact, the Chassam Sofer talks about that is why Rav Sheshes didn't answer that before, because he had the same problem as Tosfos did. says that, yes, we could learn it from that Hekesh or Gzeira Shavah or whatever, but you're going to have a problem. How come you're not comparing them completely? And that's why he didn't say anything, and that's why Rabbi Hadbury mistakenly thought that he had stumped him. Now the third thing of Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Lazar, God of Ha'is, Daka B'Seifi Yosef Moshe Rabbeinu. Somebody who gives Daka in secret is greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Dilu B'Moshe Rabbeinu K'siv Ki Yogotim K'en Af B'Achema. By Moshe Rabbeinu it says, when he's davening for the Yidin after the Chetah Egel, he says, I was afraid of the Af and the Chema, which actually the Gemara in Nedarim explains are two Malachi Chabala, or two groups of Malachi Chabala, or whatever, that Moshe was afraid of what they might do, what the Eibishter might send them to do. But when it comes to a person who gives tzedakah, it says matan b'seis, or gives it secretly without embarrassing the ani. And that the pasuk says matan b'seis yichta afo, a gift in secret turns over or wipes away anger af. And the pasuk continues v'shoyd b'chet chema aza v'shoychad b'chet chema aza and shoychad, which you're understanding shoychad to mean tzedakah. Which is so to speak, like giving shoychad to the Eibishter, when it's in the pocket, meaning again, when it's done secretly, chema azah, then it turns away strong chema. So we see from that this person who gives tzedakah b'seifer is able to overcome af and chema, which Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to. Tosfos asked, well, don't you think Moshe Rabbeinu gave tzedakah b'seifer? And Tosfos answers, okay, maybe previously he did, but by the time he's davening for the Yidden, that chus had already been used up. As some of the other Mefarshim, I think Rabbi Yaakov Emdin says the verse, how is Moshe supposed to do matan b'seiser? Like you said before, but Mechuzah, everybody's rich. Everybody has the same mon, everybody has the same ananiya covered to clean their clothes, everybody has the same everything, there's nobody to give a tzedakah to.
He could do tzedakah a different way by Torah.
That's true, but that's a different kind of thing. That's not the seiser, though, that he's teaching publicly. We're talking about the seiser.
Someone who didn't get it instead of...
I don't know. Okay. Gavit Tzedakah is actually not. If you look in the Rambam's eight levels, if he gives it to a Gavit Tzedakah, no. If you look in the Rambam's eight levels of Tzedakah, he actually looks giving to a Gavit Tzedakah lower down. He says that if the next best thing after you help a guy get a job, you help him, you lend him money or whatever, the next best thing is to give in secret. The close to that, he says, is giving to a Gavit Tzedakah. It's not really the same thing. Okay. However, this explanation of Rabbi Lazar's of the pasuk disagrees with Rabbi Yitzchak's understanding of the pasuk. Dom Rabbi Yitzchak, ask koyfa chema in a koyfa, because Rabbi Yitzchak says yes, the person who gives tzedakah b'seiser accomplishes a great thing. He's able to remove the af, but not the chema. Shenema v'shelcha b'chema aza. The second half of the pasuk doesn't say anything about what's done with the chema aza. Therefore, we can understand it. Af pish shelcha b'chema aza. Even though there was Sheikhad Bechek, even though he's putting tzedakah in secret, nevertheless, the Chema Aza still exists. Whereas Rabbi Lazar would say that the Yichbe of the first half of the Pasuk also refers to the second half of the Pasuk. You have Psukim like that, where a word in one half is also meant to refer to the second half. Ikadamri, or another version of what Rabbi Yitzchak taught is, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak called Dayan Shenotel Sheikhad. Any Dayan who takes Sheikhad, here we're understanding Sheikhad in its simple sense, that he takes a bribe, maybe Chema Adel, or he brings the strong anger of the Eibishter into the world, Shenema V'Sheikhad V'Chek. He's not dynamis, yeah, because as the Gemara says in Sobeth, nevertheless, it still causes him to unjustly favor one of them. They tell a story of a Dayan who late in life became deaf. So they asked him, this Dayan was known to not be so honest and to take Sheikhad. So they asked him, what about the positive success? Sheikhad Ya'aber Eine Chachamim, that Sheikhad makes people blind. He says the difference is a person who takes Sheikhad, yeah, he sees the money, he becomes blind. Me, they always promised me Sheikhad. They never actually delivered it. So all I heard was the words.
That's a joke.
Yeah, I don't know if it ever happened in real life, but that's one of those little mice that they tell. V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Also Rabbi Yitzchak says, "Karnosin pruta la'ani misbarach b'sheish bracha." The person who gives a pruta to a poor or more to a poor person is zoicha the six bracha. Gets six brachas from the Eibishter. V'amafaisa b'dvarim misbarach b'yud aleph brachas. If he appeases him with words, if he speaks nicely to him, then he gets 11 brachas. Okay, so Tosfos discusses that over here. If you're doing both, then Tosfos argues it should be saying that you're getting 17 brachas, 6 plus 11. Therefore, Tosfos explains that no, it means, and the Rambam also learns similarly, it means even if you don't have what to give him, but at least you talk nicely to him and don't make him feel embarrassed that he came to you, then you get 11 brachas for that. Yet again, those sukkim from Yeshaya that we were quoting a few times. The pasuk starts by saying, shouldn't you, you ought to be sweating out and giving out your bread to the hungry and then bringing in the aniyim merudim into your house. Before we said aniyim merudim means government officials, but here, we're talking on a more simple level that it just means the poor people who are screaming out for and moaning and then groaning about their tzaras. Anyway, and the pasuk continues, you see a person who doesn't have clothes and you give him clothes. And then, so the Gemara doesn't spell out, but Agoy Tabach adds that you have 6 brachas in the couple of psukim after that. Odi brocha kashacha erecha, that's 1. Varachos kamehera titzmach is 2. Vaholach lefanecha titkecha is 3. Kvod Hashem yaspecha is 4. Od tikra vashem yana is 5. Teshava v'yemi hineni is 6. So 6 brachas there you get. If you speak nicely to the Ani, then you get 11 brachas. Shenema, because the pasuk continues, Sofik l'roiv nafshecha. If you bring out your nefesh, your will to the hungry person, which means Rashi says you bring out you bring yourself out to him. You make him feel better with words. The nefesh nana tasbiya, and you make an afflicted soul, a suffering soul. You make him satisfied. Then the pasuk starts saying a bunch of brachas. Zorach b'choshech erecha, your light will shine in the darkness. Va'afelos ha'katzaroyim, and even your thick darkness will be like the noon. V'nachach Hashem tamid, Hashem will lead you always. V'yitzbiya b'tzachtachayit nefshecha, he'll satisfy your soul even in tremendous thirst, in tremendous dryness. And the pasuk continues, v'vonamum chachor v'soylam, they'll build from you the runes that have been around for forever. Moistir jovedo chakayim v'goymer, you'll reestablish the foundations that have been there for generations and generations. And the pasuk continues with a couple of more brachas, 11 altogether.
You haven't given him any money at
this point. Again, according to Tosfos, you're talking about you haven't even given him any money, just the fact that you talked to him and made him feel better.
Well, I was just giving him pussy without talking
Yeah, so, and the Rambam writes, actually, that based on this Gemara, that if you give a krutza to an ani, but you give it to him like with a sour face and making him feel bad, then you lose the schus of the mitzvah. So there can be. You give him like that with a sour face, making him feel unworthy or whatever. There can be you stam give him without, you just give him and he leaves. And then you can have, like we're saying over here, where you give him together with making him feel better. Or you can have where you don't have to give him, but you still make him feel better.
What does
that mean? You had in the psukim over there, first it lists things that a person does of actual tzedakah, giving food and clothes and whatever to the hungry, and it lists 6 brachas. Then the pasuk says, if you give yourself over to the ani, with a smile and whatever, then it lists 11 brachas. So therefore, we see that there's 11 brachas for that. The Kli Yoker has a vart on it that Yud Aleph represents Olam Haba in the sense because we have that in our world we have mainly the Shem Hashem of Yud Kei. And then Ein Hashem Shalom, Ein Akiseh Shalom, the Vav Hei of the Eivishter's name is, so to speak, concealed until Amalek is destroyed, until Laos Ad Lavei. So therefore, Vav Hei, which equals 11, is more appropriate when a person is speaking kind words to Ani and helping him on a neshama level. Therefore, he's zeicha to 11 brachas. Whereas when he gives him Gashmius, then there's a Gashmius sicker world. That's 6 directions. Therefore, he's zeicha in 6 brachas.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. What does it mean? The pasuk says a person who chases after tzedakah and chesed, yimtzo chayim tzedakah v'chavod. He will find life and tzedakah and kavod. Now the way it says he will find tzedakah, Rashi says it makes it sound like he's eventually going to require tzedakah himself. So what does that mean? Mishum deroidif tzedakah yimtzo tzedakah. What is that? Because he's chasing after tzedakah, therefore he'll end up becoming poor and needing tzedakah himself. What's the justice? Hello, loy malach. No, it comes to teach you. Called roidif achat tzedakah. Hakadosh Baruch Hu mamti loy mois vayis man tzvahen tzedakah. A person who chases after the opportunity to give tzedakah, the Eivishter gives him more money so that he can do more tzedakah with it. There's a vort that's brought in one of the Sifrei HaMoser, I think in Shevet Moser or something, that says you see this from the fact the word tzedakah in Atbash also is tzedakah. The tzadik corresponds to a hay. The dalad corresponds to a kuf. So therefore, you see from that, tzedakah brings more tzedakah. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Omer, a different angle on it is also HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mamtzi LeBnei Adam, Amahu Gonim Lahan Tzedakah. Also, it means the Eibishter provides them not just the money to give Tzedakah, but also the Eibishter makes sure that worthy people come to him, Kedei LeKabel Aleihem Schorei, in order that he should get the proper schar for giving him, for giving them Tzedakah. And one says, LaPukimai, as opposed to what? What do you mean? LaPukim Midodosh Rabba. That means as opposed to the kind of situation that Rabba talked about in a Jerusha. What does it mean? Yumiyo davens about the people of Anosites who are harassing him and trying to kill him for his nevuas and whatever. He says they should be made to stumble before you. At the time of your anger, act against them. What do you mean they should be made to stumble before you? These people, even when they conquer you, the Yetzirah, and they want to give tzedakah before you, you should still make them stumble over the fact that they'll end up giving to people who are unworthy of tzedakah, fakers, basically. So they don't receive the schar for giving them tzedakah. Some of the Foreshim say the vote is, we're not talking about if you really tried to investigate, you thought the guy was honest, and it turns out afterwards he was a faker, okay, you can't say you don't get a sky for that. You thought, we're talking about where you should have checked it out. Like we said yesterday, Bodkin Luxus or Bodkin Mazonis or whatever, and you didn't even bother to do the checking. That's the kind of thing we're talking about.
Before you give,
yeah. There's certain cases we learned yesterday that you're supposed to check, yeah.
So people around come to the door, you have to check.
Yeah, well, we're not talking about to just giving them a small amount, right. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But so if you're going to give a big amount,
yeah, for pashtus, yeah. There is a chassidish avort on this though, from Rav Zusha Anapolo, who says faket. I mean, what the Yirmiyahu is such a mean guy, he doesn't want these people from Anosis to have any schus at all. Faket, he's saying what's the only way the Eibishter is going to be able to give them any schus if they go and end up giving even to people she'enin mehuganin. And they say, even though the guy may not be deserving, I'm still going to give him tzedakah anyway, then they deserve the Eibishter should act with them mida keneged mida, and even though they're not deserving, the Eibishter should still give them chesed. Yeah. Rabbi Shurban Levi Omar, kolad rogel lasis tzedakah, based on the same pasuk that we quoted before, roidif tzedakah v'chesed, anybody who is accustomed to giving tzedakah, zoiche, then he is zoiche as follows, havyam le'bonim bale chochma bale osha bale agada. He has the schus to have children who will have chochma and riches, and be experts in Agadza. Balech Chochma d'chtiv yimtzachayim, because it says they'll find life. Chochma is life. Kimoitzi matzachayim. It was in Tanya recently. Yomusu b'lo b'chochma, Chochma is associated with chayim. Balech Oshu d'chtiv tzedakah, they'll be rich, because it says he'll receive tzedakah, meaning, again, like we said before, they'll have the money to be able to do tzedakah. Balech Agada d'chtiv b'chavoid. And Balech Agada, because if the pasuk finishes off, that they'll get covered. The chachamim will inherit covered. Rashi says, what's the logic? A person who teaches agadah, it draws people, it attracts, it's much more attractive, people are much more attracted to agadah than to halacha. Therefore, everybody honors them for what their knowledge. Tanya, hoyer meyon, yesh lo lebala din la'ashivcha. When it comes to tzedakah, the bala din, meaning Rashi says a rosha or a goy, could come up with an argument against. He could argue, if your Eibishter loves the poor people so much, why does he support them himself? Why does he leave it up to you? You should tell such a person who comes up, or your Yetzirah, or whatever, who comes up with such an argument, the reason is, the reason is that tzedakah will save us ourselves from Gehenim. That's the reason why the Eibishter gives us the ability for that school. Okay, so there is in Chassidus that talks about that, right? That's essentially the argument of the moon. Shnei Malachim Mishtam from the Keter Echad, where Eibish tells of the Chiyu Mati Asatmech. Chassidus, it's in a number of places, it talks about the idea that the complaint of the moon is basically, why did you create the world in such a way that there have to be Mashfiyim and there have to be Mekablim? And that's basically the answer is, the answer of Yichsidus is because a person needs to not only be, the person is a makabal from the Eibishter is the ultimate mashpia, worthy makablim, we have to be mashpiyim ourselves, we have to have for those to whom to be mashpia. In fact, this is the very question that the Rosh Turnus Rufus asked Rabbi Akiva. It was the famous Turnus Rufus, who was the governor of Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Akiva married his wife. And eventually he's the one who presided over Rabbi Akiva's execution. Although, yes, I remember that there were two different Torah surfaces. So I don't know. Anyway, he asked him, if your God loves the poor people so much, why doesn't he support them himself? The Gemara mentions over there briefly that the famous story that Turnus Rufus's wife, one time, Turnus Rufus tells his wife, I'm never able to beat Rabbi Akiva in any of these arguments, like the one here and various other ones. I want you to trip him up. I want you to go and try to seduce him. So she goes, and Rabbi Akiva sees her. What is it? He laughs, he cries, and he spits. She asks him, why'd you laugh? He doesn't want to tell her. Why'd you cry? Because why'd you spit? Because such beauty like yours, and it's used for such repulsive things. Why, or something like that, I forgot the details. Why are you crying? Because eventually that beauty is going to be rotting away in the grave. Why are you laughing? He didn't want to tell her. The reason why is because he realized Ruach HaKodesh, eventually Turnus Rufus died, her husband. She became a Giyotis. She married Rabbi Akiva, and she brought him a fortune. As the Gemara mentions over there in the Nedarim, it's one of the six. He was already wealthy, but this is one of the six ways.
Rabbi Akiva became. And he found the treasure on the beach.
Yeah. Anyway.
So he didn't care about you.
So that's the thing. That's the Joda sort of showing him argues there must have been two different Turnus Rufuses. Yeah. And you could find her. You could answer she didn't die. She didn't divorce. She, Turnus Rufus didn't die. She divorced him. There it is. I don't know. Anyway. So he asked him, the Abish loves poor people so much. Why doesn't he support them? On the letter, Akiva tells him, Kadesh Nitzalon Abraham Medina Shoganim, in order that thereby we will be saved from the din of Gehenna. Omalei, the Turnus Rufus says, Adadab, Azusha Machayapta, the Gehenna, just the opposite. By your way of looking at it, giving tzedakah to the poor people when the Abish to himself has dictated that they should be poor, that should make you deserving of Gehenna. Let me give you a mashal of what it's like. It's like a melech boss of a dumb who got angry at his servant, his slave, and he threw him in jail. So he orders that they shouldn't give him any food or drink. Somebody goes and gives him food and drink. So now when the king hears about it, don't you think he's going to be angry at this person who takes it on himself to feed this guy? And you Jews are called the Abish's slaves. So then, based on your own Torah, you should say that feeding aniyim is a crime. Amalei Rakiva. So Rabbi Akiva answers back. Emshal l'chol mashal. Let me give you a mashal of a different kind. Ma davadim. The melech boss of adam shekos al bnoi. Imagine you have a melech boss of adam who's angry at his son. And he throws him in jail. He orders that he shouldn't be given food and drink. When the king hears about it, you don't think he's going to send a present to this guy? After all, yes, he was very angry at his son. He gave those orders, so to speak, in the heat of the moment. But not that he really wants a normal person doesn't want his son to die of hunger. The Anukruyan Bonim, and we are just called the Abish's children. If the Bonim Atam Hashem Alekechem. Amalai, so Turnus Rufus says, Atam Kruyan Bonim, Akruyan Abadim. Very well, but you see from your own Torah, you're called the Abish's sons, but you're also called a slave. Bizman Shatam Oisim Etzoni Shamakam Atam Kruyan Bonim, only when you follow the Abish's will, only then are you called his children. Or Bizman Shain Atam Oisim Etzoni Shamakam Atam Kruyan Abadim, when you're not doing the Abish's Rath, then you're called Abadim. But Akshav Ain Atam Oisim Etzoni Shamakam. And now you're obviously not doing Etzoni Shamakam because you're in Golos under us. So. Yes. Amalai, Rabbi Akiva answers him, true, but you have the pasuk that says, you have the pasuk in Yeshaya that we've been quoting all this time, you should be giving out your bread to the hungry, and you should be bringing the aniyim, and you bring the aniyim merudim into your house. Again, we're understanding aniyim merudim to mean the government, that's always claiming deficits and raising taxes. When do we have this aniyim merudim business? It's nowadays, when we're under the control of the Romans. The karma, and yet the pasuk says, that you still, under these conditions, you still have to be giving food to the hungry. So he didn't answer him, really, right? So some of the mafarshim answer. There's actually a machlokas on this topic in Kedushin. You have Rabbi Yehuda, who understands bonim atam lashem alekeichem over there to mean only when oisin return to shamakim. When not, then we're not bonim. And Rabbi Meir says, no, regardless, oisin return to shamakim or not, we're still bonim atam lashem alekeichem. And in connection, the Gemara actually brings it over there in connection with a drasha of psukim, what we use psukim for as far as learning out certain halachas. The halacha is like a mayor's understanding of psukim. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva can be answering according, he doesn't have to spell it out in detail, but that's the gist of it. Turnus Rufus's opinion is not accepted we are nevertheless the Eved Shezbonim regardless. And therefore, it's correct to give the Dakar regardless. Dorish Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Shalom. Kishem Shem is a nice of Shalom Pesukim Lamei Rosh Hashanah. Just as a person's parnasa is fixed on Rosh Hashanah, what he's going to have throughout the whole year. Kachas Yehuda, what a person is going to earn. Kachas Yehuda nice of Shalom Pesukim Lamei Rosh Hashanah. So also the amount of money that a person is going to lose is also decided on Rosh Hashanah. So Zocha Leparis L'Roy V'Lachnacha. If he has the proper schus, again Rashi says if he has a good mazel, then Haleparis L'Roy V'Lachnacha. Then he ends up losing that amount by giving it to Daniim, by giving his bread to Daniim. Loy Zocha. If he's not on the right level, Daniim Merudim Tavi Bias, then he ends up giving it to Daniim Merudim to the government. Chihod Bnei Achse de Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, just like the case of the nephews of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Chazlo who bechelma de Borul Mechse Shvami Adinri. He saw in a dream, Rashi says it was on Matzah Yom Kippur, Hagoy Tzabach changes it to Matzah Rosh Hashanah. Anyway, he had a dream, that this coming year, they're destined to lose 700 dinarim. Asinhu, so he started pressuring them to give, tzedakah. Shokol minayol tzedakah, he ended up taking a large amount of them for tzedakah throughout the course of the year. The Medrash, by the way, tells a story a little bit differently. The Medrash tells a story about Rav Shimon ben Yochai, a similar story about Rav Shimon ben Yochai, again, that he saw his nephews are destined to lose 600 dinarim. So he tells them afterwards, without telling them the dream, he also an Agama, Rabbi Yechman Zaka doesn't want to tell them the dream, as we'll see why soon, because he wanted them to do a mitzvah l'shma, but he tells them, I want you to start being gaboy tzedakah and making sure that you're giving tzedakah generously, and I want you to write down in your notebooks the exact amount that you give each time. And then at the end of the year, I'll check it over. So here it's a similar thing, but it's 700 dinarim. Hushka bayu shivsa dinarim. Came the end of the year, and there still remains by them, they gave away 683 dinarim. There's still 17 that they didn't give away from the amount that he had seen in his dream. Kimatamala yomidikipuri. So when it came, Erev Yom Kippur, of the following year, shodr debe keser naktinu. They sent soldiers from the emperor to arrest them. And the pashtus, they were going to have to pay a large amount of money as a fine or a shoychad or what have you. Amal the Rabbi Yechon and Zaka like chidchalun. So Rabbi Yechon and Zaka says to them, don't worry. Shivsa dinri gabaychu. You have 17 dinrim that you were supposed to have spent this year. Shaklunu minaychu. They'll take that from you and they'll let you go on that basis. In the Medrash, you have a similar thing that they want to charge these guys 600 dinarim in back taxes and whatever, and Rav Shimon Yochai tells them that you'll be able to get out of it with just 6 dinarim. So they ask him, how do you know? He says, I had a dream about you. Knew, why don't you tell us straight out? We would have given the whole 700. We would have hashpored ourselves all this trouble. He says, yes, but like this, I figured better that you should be doing the mitzvah l'shma. Like this, if you know that I saw it in a dream, yeah, you're going to be giving it for the sake of getting out of this trouble. You should be giving tzedakah for the sake of the mitzvah, not for that reason. And that's the kind of thing that where the schus of it will protect you. Again, in that matter, Shem Shimon Yochai says a similar thing to his nephews. Rapapa have a solid bedarga. One time Rapapa was climbing up stairs or a ladder or whatever. Yeah, a ladder. Ishtimit kare, his foot slipped. Ishtimit kare, his foot slipped, boy the maple, and he was about to fall. Hagor Tabach adds, Cholash Daite, he felt bad. Omar, he says to him, Hashta keini chayev, manda sonilon. Now, if this attack had happened, if I had fallen down the stairs and gotten killed, or injured, the one who I hate, which is of course a euphemism, meaning I would have been punished. I would have been punished with the equivalent of skila. So the Gemara mentions in a few places that nowadays that we don't have dalit misses based in, the Eved deals with a person who's chayiv misses based in accordingly. So like a person who's chayiv skila falls off a roof or something. So the Papa is saying, what happened over here that I did something which could make me chayiv skila. Is it possible maybe that an oni came to you and you didn't support him? A couple of the Mefarshim say that refers back to the story we had at the beginning of today's Gemara, where the Papa was a gabay tzedakah and this oni came by and he followed the braisa and didn't give him. Or didn't give him the proper amount, whatever. D'tanya, as we learn in the Brisa, Rabbi Shimon Bar Chaima, called a malam einav minat tzedaka, kilo oiv daberes kechavim, a person who ignores the chiyuv to give tzedaka, who pretends he's not looking when somebody comes to collect tzedaka, is as if he's worshipping avodah zarah. By tzedakah, it says, be careful that there's not an idea of Belial in your heart that I'm not going to bother. By the it says that people Bnei Belial have come out and convinced the city to worship Avodah Zarah. So it's the same kind of thing. What's the connection? Marsha and a bunch of other Meforshim explain that the connection is when a person doesn't give tzedakah, but he's saying, I don't trust the Edishta to make it up to me, which is a form of Avodah Zarah. Or he's trusting in his money more than the Eivishter, so a variation on that. There's a cute verse they say on it from that's brought from the Vilna Gaon, the Pesukim, the Pesuk over there where it talks about giving tzedakah, says, Tiposoyach tiftach at yad haloi. You should open up your hand and give to him. The truck on the words Tiposoyach tiftach are Dauga Tavir. Tiposoyach tiftach. Dauga Tavir literally means a broken step, which is what happened here. So therefore, the remez is that Pasayach Tiftach is associated with broken, with a person falling down steps. Tanya Omer of Elazar Rabbi Yosi called Tzedakah b'Chesed Shiyisrael Oisin Ba'olam Hazeh. Any Tzedakah and Chesed that the Jewish people do in this world, Shalom Gadol, it brings about a great level of Shalom, Ufraklit and Gdolim, and it brings about that there should be great defenders. Melitza Yosher, Rashi says. Between the Jewish people and the Eibishter. Shenema, Koyama Hashem, as the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, the Eibishter says to him, so says Hashem, Al Tovei Beis Marzeach, don't come to a Beis Marzeach. Rashi explains over there two possibilities. Either a Beis Marzeach means a house of an oval, or it means a house with a party going on. And then and later he would use Beis Marzeach in the second sense. They use it to mean like a tavern, a bar or whatever. Don't go to mourn for the dead. Or to be menachem avol. Because the Eibishter says I've removed my peace from this people. And he says a chesed v'es rachmim. I've removed chesed and rachmim. Chesed zug mil chasodim, rachmim zug tzedaka. Implying that up until now they were doing chesed and they were doing rachmim, which is mil chasodim and tzedaka, and therefore the Eibishter that left them at peace. But now that all of that has been removed, the chesed and the rachman have been removed, then the shalom is also gone. We'll continue tomorrow. Beth Hashem. We'll start with Gedolah, Tzedakah, Shmukadavah, Tzedakah, and other positive things about Tzedakah.